Hi, it's Dove, and we're up to Perek Dalet, and it's amazing material. I'm going to do a Sikkum Shir, which is a summary kind of a recording at the end of all this, and that's probably going to be the only thing that's going to be kept by Guard Your Eyes as a on a permanent basis for future Shogavims. The first three prakim so far of Derech Emes started facing honestly certain facts in the belief and opinion and belief of this tzaddik, who was a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich and then a Talmud of the Magid of the Vatra Magid. And so he was obviously, a contemporary of, the Basayan and Mendel of the Tebsker, the Chabadsker, the Balatanya, other great people and in that generation, the Chozer was, whatever, also in that first generation of Talmidim of the Magid. The first parak was focused on ase and los ase, and what the focus on the fulfillment of asim, meaning positive commandments and positive behaviors in Yiddishkeit, things to do. That whole aspect of Jewish religious stuff, what effect that, what does that mean, what does it signify, what's the preciousness of that versus the meaning and significance and preciousness, relevance, importance of keeping shmira of the feminine side, meaning shmira of los aseh, negative commandments, keeping the negative commandments, and working on the keeping the things that are negative that the Torah and Chazal instruct us to avoid and to not do and to guard ourselves from, and what the significance of the person who's careful with that is. And his main point in the first parak, and he repeats it a few times in the second parak, and refers to it in the third as well, is that his main contention is that he believed that others disagree, but he believed that, relationship, if you're in a relationship, let's say it's a business relationship, okay? Very simple relationship. There's give and take. Each person has certain qualities of character and abilities and all that that they contribute to the company. It's a small business. Let's say it's a candy store. You're running a candy store, you and your partner. Let's say it's three partners, each partner is doing something to, to help the place run. Either it's choosing good stock, to stock on the shelves, increasing advertisement in the community, service in the store, focusing on good service in the store and how to stock items so that people see it. Different things that people would do in a simple business like running a candy store. One of the three is also working with bargaining with sellers and wholesalers and all that stuff. And then maybe one of them is good with working with shippers and working on that. Or each one's doing different things based hopefully on what they're best at, And one of the three, aside from all the contributions that he's making to the firm, is telling some people who he meets in show, let's say, not to go to his store because it's a horrible place to buy things, and most of the candy is rotten and moldy. Is it true? Let's say it's not true. Let's say it's a lie. But that's what he's doing. He's passing around false rumors about the business. So it looks kind of crazy that that's what he's doing, but that's what he's doing. What's the motive for what he's doing? We're not interested in that right now. I'm just looking at the situation. So his contention, this great tzaddik's contention, the Derech Emes, he wrote the Sefer that this Kuntres is included in as like a second part to it. In some editions, it's a third part. Is called Yosher Divrei Emes. So Yosher Divrei Emes. His contention is that aside from being crazy and whatever his motives are, they are, but there's something essentially going on here that demonstrates that it's not the pshat that this guy is not doing a great job for the business, because let's say others are making mistakes. They're lazy and they're not really pushing for the best merchandise. Let's say the guy who's in charge of buying it is not pushing for the best prices on the merchandise, or the guy who's in charge of the deliveries is not really, he made some mistakes because he didn't really search all the options. Their shipping costs are twice what they really should be because he's just not searching enough. You know, but the third guy who's going around when he's not in the store, you know, when he's in shul or wherever else, he's going around actively campaigning against the store, saying, passing lies around about the store, that person isn't just not doing such a great job, he's not even doing a terrible job. The point is he's not doing a job. The point is he's against the company. He's not for the company, he's against the company. He's doing so many things for the company. He spends his whole day stocking the shelves, greeting customers, helping them find what they want, etc. But what he's doing outside the store is actually subverting the business. So it's not the pshat that this fella isn't doing a great job in the relationship. He's not participating as fully as he can in the relationship, or he's not participating properly in the relationship. No. It's that he's a liar. He's a fake. There is no real relationship here. So now the question is, why is he working so hard at work? And, you know, if he obviously is against the company, you know, or he's doing things to undermine the company. So the answer to that is, well, he wants to get paid. You know, he's doing a 9-to-5 job. He's keeping his job description. Doesn't say anything about, and, you know, your behavior outside the store, your conduct outside the store has to support our business. None of his job description, he's not going against his job description at all, legally speaking, you know? So what's really going on over here? Why would a person do that? And the answer is, and the same thing would go for a person who is purposely slacking off and purposely not trying to save the company money, even though he knows that there are ways to get cheaper, half the price on shipping, and he's just not pursuing it, you know, because he's playing on a computer, looking at porn or playing, you know, Candy Crush or whatever, Angry Birds or something. You know, so he's, you know, same thing would really apply to that, where he's undermining the company because he's, you know, he's not doing a great job, you know, on a consistent basis. It's similar. So what's going on over here? So he says, well, he wants to get paid, but he's not going the extra mile, and it's ending up hurting the company, or in the first case, he's actually actively trying to hurt the company. Doing things that are hurting the company. The problem over here is that the motive is very simple, he suggests, that the frum person who's doing the asin, he's doing the positive things, coming to shul first, not just in the first 10, first, every single time, shachris, mincha, and maariv, and he's learning the daf yomi and teaching shiurim and this and that, and he's doing all these wonderful things. But the fact that he's doing negative things, like how does that fit? So he says, well, a person who's doing the negative things, especially if they're things that are secret, nobody really knows. So he's doing the positive things, and that gives him a tremendous perk. It might not be the only reason he's doing them, but it gives him a tremendous perk of being looked up to as a great guy, you know, and maybe helping other people do the same. It feels good. you know, and people respect him too, and he feels like he's accomplishing a great deal. What about the things he's doing wrong? Well, he tells himself that the fact that he's doing so many things right, it kind of counterbalances the fact that, yeah, I'm doing things wrong, but who's perfect? No one's perfect. Amy Tzadik Boretz, Ashigazah Tov, Velo Yachidah, you know? So, and I have a big Yetzirah and all this. So, you know, that's the way it goes. God understands. Okay, fine. His point is that it's not about God understands and no one's perfect. It's that he's lying to himself, telling himself that the work that he's doing on a positive basis kind of makes up for the work that he's doing on a negative basis at all. And he says it doesn't make up for it at all. You know, they're two unrelated things. Because what's going on here is not that he has a relationship with God like a person who's working for a company, but rather what's going on here is he's trying to get the perks. And there are no real negative things going on. There's no bad repercussions. There are no consequences to his acting out, his desires and or slacking off and not really going the extra mile or even subverting the company purposely by bad-mouthing the company. There are no actual negative consequences to that take away the good things he's doing. You know, so his point is, if you love your wife, if you're good to your wife, but then you're having an affair as well, even if it's just with your hand, you know, masturbating intentionally to porn and fantasy and stuff, that's an affair that you're having with your hand, and she doesn't know about it, it's secret, and that's what you're doing is like the opposite of the relationship. She thinks you're one way and you're another way. So the fact that Shalom Bayis looks good is only because she doesn't know the truth about you. That's not Shalom Bayis. That's called you're a lie. You're a living lie. So, and that's the way that we are when we're doing, you know, if people are addicts, you know, and this is the way we behave. This is how it goes. And we tell ourselves, you know, Hashem says, Mishanam et Meha Shalom, and I dealt a little bit with that another time. You know, that's not what it means at all. At all. At all. And we discussed why that is. Or I shared a little bit about why that is. This is, you know, lying about your masturbation and pornography career that's going on since you were a kid and continues through the marriage for how many years and years and years is that's not what it means when it says, you know, Mishanam et Meha Shalom, but it's okay to keep showing bias, it's okay to bend the truth a little bit. That's not what that the directive in Chazal means. It means something completely different. The point that he's trying to make is that that's not Avodas Hashem. That person hasn't entered into Avodas Hashem. He's really Avodas Atmo. He's doing what he wants to do and not doing what he doesn't want to do, which is serving himself. And the point of this sefer is to try to help a person elevate to a place where they're at least starting to serve Hashem. They're starting to serve Hashem. And his suggestion in the first parak and part of the second is to make not transgressing the will of the king my first priority. In other words, if you're in a marriage, the first priority is respect. Respect. The second priority is love. In terms of working the relationship, I'm saying, the first priority is always respect. If I'm doing things that are embarrassing my wife on a daily basis, you know, or if I'm insulting her on a daily basis, it doesn't matter how nice I am to her when I'm nice to her. That doesn't matter. All that does is confuse her. Why is she married to me? She would think constantly. Because, well, he made me breakfast. He wrote me a beautiful note. But then when I meet him, he insulted me. You know? What's going on here? You know, it's just, this is a relationship with a crazy person. I don't want this relationship at all. So the first thing to work on is respect. The second thing to work on is love. That's why he says that the Chassidus Sfarim, the Baal Shem Tov in many places say that Yira is the Iker Avoda of a human being. Yira Shemayim is the Iker Avoda. What's Yira Shemayim? It's not doing things that the king doesn't want you to do. And that should be the beginning of a true, beautiful relationship of love, a loving relationship, which is, the Ahavta is our, obviously, the point of all this, right? To have Ahava means to do his will, not to not do what he doesn't want you to do. That comes before doing his will. Doing his will is nice, but the ikkar is first being careful with the losase. That's what the Derech HaEmes is focusing on in the first couple of prakim. The second couple of prakim, he talks a little more about honesty. Now in Perek Dalet, he starts off with a beautiful inyan. V'hine re'ei ma she'amru chazal of Metzia Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Ohev lifrot v'sonei liton. If you have a beloved fellow person who his this is off of a pasuk in last week's parsha Mishpatim. If you have a person who you ohev in Hebrew can mean two things. It can mean a person you love, or it can mean a person you prefer. You know, when it says in the Torah that Leah saw that she was senua, hated, it doesn't mean that Leah saw that. That Yaakov loved Rachel but hated her. I'm sure that Yaakov didn't have any hatred for Leah. Why should he hate Leah? And besides that, the Midian Maguna Ma'od, and he's one of the Abbas Ha'olam, the Bechir Sheva Abbas, actually, why would he hate his, you know, this woman? And there's no other indication that he hated her at all. He treated her with the utmost respect and, you know, did everything for her. But he saw that she's hated compared to Rachel. In other words, she's not preferred. And that's a typical usage, particularly biblically. Ohev and Sone, Ahuva and Sinua, hated and loved mean hated, loved me. I love this, meaning I prefer this over other things. Sone means I prefer other things over this thing. I prefer not to relate to this thing. I don't choose this thing. It sometimes means true love and hate, and sometimes it just means a value judgment. I do value this, and I value this, you know, compared to the, you know, each other. So, Ohev Lifrok, a person who you prefer, I want to help this guy. Lifrok, he has an animal who's overloaded. And the animal is suffering and needs to be unloaded, prika, needs to be unloaded. And a sone, a person who you don't like, who you don't want to do anything for, liton, needs his animal to be reloaded. In other words, the packages are on the ground, he wants to load this animal up. So there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of, if it means a biblical commandments to prevent suffering, animal suffering. Okay, that's called sa'ar ba'alei chayim, to reduce or avoid, prevent, stop sa'ar, pain of ba'alei chayim, living creatures. We learn this from Lo Sachsam Shor Medisho, and the Rambam brings it in his Yad very famously as a d'oraisa. Other Rishonim disagree, but it's, you know, it seems that it's a d'oraisa and it's also implied in this psukim, in these psukim here, that you unload an animal first rather than reloading an animal, because unloading an animal is reducing the animal's suffering, and therefore that's a tremendous responsibility of human beings to do. However, Chazal interpret this pasuk and what the Gemara in Bava Metzia learns from it a little differently than the pashat shat in the pasuk. They say that the ohev is a person you love, and the sone is a person that you are commanded to hate. In other words, you're not allowed to hate another Jew, but you're allowed to prefer one Jew more than the other. But you're not allowed to. I mean, that's up to you. But you're not allowed to hate another Jew. You're not allowed to hate. It's a biblical commandment. Don't hate another Jew in your heart. You know? So, but this is referring to the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Tosfos there talks about this, and it's also in Psochim, talks about a Jew who, this is referring, the Sone is referring to a Jew who has sinned in such a fashion that you're permitted to actually you know, despise this person, okay? And there are specific rules for when that's allowed. Okay, so whatever the rules are, that's the situation. So Tosfos in Psachim asks a very simple question. He says, if you're allowed to... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm leaving out one step. The Gemara of Avnetzia says a tremendous Kiddush that from the Psukim and from their own deep understanding, they said that if a person has a choice between helping an animal that's suffering and needs to be unloaded, helping the master unload this animal, versus helping a person load up his animal, there's one case where he needs to let the animal who's overloaded keep suffering and help the person who needs to load up their animal. And there's one case, and that case is when the person who needs his animal to be loaded up is a person that he hates. When it's a person that he hates, he needs to help that person load his animal up and allow the other person who he likes stay there with a suffering animal who needs to be unloaded. And in the meantime, the owner is unloading him, but it's taking him a long time, and it would go much faster if you would help him. No, you need to help the man or woman, you know, the person who has an animal that needs to be loaded because you hate this guy. And Chazal say the reason that you need to help this guy out is because hatred isn't good for you, and you need to do things to mitigate, to reduce, soften the hatred that you have for this person. And just like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Tzaddik Baruch Hu would do when a Talmud or a yeshiva or whatever got on his nerves, he would send him presents, he would compliment him, he would be kind, he would go out of his way to be kind to people who annoyed him the most. And you see this in the mitzvah of, in Purim, not of Matanis Avniyim, not in Matanis Avniyim, but in sending Manos Ish L'Re'evu. So we say that the mitzvah is more proper to do Mishloach Manos to a person who you don't like in order to establish the friendship, to help the friendship along. Because the idea in Purim is to draw us together, not just to give presence la'anshe shlomeinu to the people that we're friends with. That's not the main point here, but it's to draw us from separate, from an am mefuzer mefarad into an am echad, to draw us together. So here in a similar fashion, you gotta go help the guy who you hate, because even though the other fellow's animal is suffering, and there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to help the animal that's suffering, the Torah doesn't say that anywhere. It's the Gemara that says that. Because the case in the Torah is a case of prikach with an enemy owner. Nowhere does the Torah discuss a case of te'ina with an enemy owner. So this is a chiddush in the Gemara going against the Yetzer Hara, going against hatred that you have, is more important than doing a mitzvah d'oraisa. And it's a chiddush in the Gemara that is obviously a tremendous chiddush, that working on your midos is more important than a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. But this fits right into, of course, the mentality of the Mechaber here. Because I just finished quoting the first two prokim where he says that the ikar is keeping the los asays and, you know, avoiding the los asays, avoiding negative commandments. Don't do things that are against the king. And that's the ikar. And the next thing to do after that is to start doing things the king wants you to do. You know, so that fits together beautifully with what he's been suggesting until now. Just to be clear about another point, there was a story of a ger that came to Hillel, came to Shammai, and later came to Hillel. So the time he came to Shammai, saying, I want to learn the whole Torah real fast. Just tell it to me so I can go on one foot. Tell me whatever I got to know, and let me accept me as a Jew and let me move on. And Shammai, said, this ain't going to work. Bye. Kicked him out. The other fellow, the same guy, goes to a different base medrash. He goes to Hillel, apparently Hillel HaZaken, and he said to him, same thing, teach me the Torah quickly. Teach me the Torah while I stand on one foot. There are many pshatim in what that means, but it seems that people agree that basic pashat shat, the basic explanation is quickly, just 1, 2, 3, boom. Hillel accepted him as a ger and said to him, I'll tell you the whole Torah on one foot. My disani lach, lechavrech lo sa'avid, what is hated unto you, what you don't like, don't do to your fellow. That's it. The rest, is basically commentary on how to do that. Go and learn it. And, that's how the story ends. So, it's probably the guy turned out fine. You know what I mean? He turned out to be a great bear and everything was fine. Okay. I don't know the rest of the story. You got to call Paul Harvey or somebody else to tell you the rest of the story. So that's what we're talking about over here. That if you want to accept a ger, the first thing you've got to tell him isn't Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, Zek Gadol Batora. No. The first thing you've got to tell him is my disoni lach, what you hate, L'chavrech L'savit, don't do to your fellow. Don't do to your friends. That's the first thing to tell somebody. That what's Yiddishkeit? Oh, you want Yiddishkeit? Yiddishkeit serving Hashem? You want that? Fine. Don't do anything he doesn't like, because your best friend in the whole world, your only real friend is God. God is your only real friend in the world, with a capital F for friend. He's your only real friend. This is Shir HaShirim, is about we're friends. I love you. We're in a deep, loving relationship. Hashem, this is my only real friend is Hashem. Everybody else could theoretically turn on you. Your Rebbe could turn on you. Your spouse could turn on you. Your children could hate you. Everybody in the world can hate you. God can't hate because he is only good. Hatred only happens, a person only hates someone else when they need something from this other person and the other person is not giving it. God cannot, your Rebbe Shlomo can't need anything. He also can't get Alzheimer's and die or get pneumonia. He can't break a leg. He can't hate. Hatred is just a broken state of being. That's all. God can't lose his hair, it doesn't make any sense. But he also can't need anything. It's not a lack in his being a kol yachol, because that's not a yachol. Can he make a rock that he can't move? That doesn't make any sense. That would be a lack. Nothing, he can't lack anything. And is that a lack in him that he can't lack anything? I don't think so. So he can't be mean. He can't be bad. He can't not be in your best interest. Hakol bara was what the Gemara says. Every single person is chayav lomar to admit to himself and recognize bishvili nivra olam, that God would have created the entire world just for me. So this is the first thing to do is. My disani lach lechavrech lo sa'avid, and the rest of it is obviously what Rabbi Akiva was referring to many generations later. Rabbi Akiva ben Gairim, by the way, that was his nickname. Not just Ben Yosef, but they called him Ben Gairim. He said, "Ve'ahavrech mocha zek al gadol batora." No wonder Hillel taught this ger that And by the way, Rabbi Akiva himself, I think, darshans, ve'ahavta le're'acha, love your friend as yourself. Re'acha means Hashem, like it says regarding Shlomo, I think, re'acha v're'a avicha, your friend and your father's friend, meaning God, is called your re'a, your friend. So This is all, to me, this is pretty clear. I hope you understand it as well, and let's move on. V'hinei lechora hakol, I'm sorry, v'hinei lechora halo b'chol devar mitzvah einu maniach hayetzer hara, v'gam b'prika yesh k'tias hayetzer. Isn't it simple, axiomatic, that in any case where there's a command upon you to do it, the yetzer hara wants to fight it? And in prika, in unloading a friend's animal, your mitzvah to do it, so there's obviously k'tias hayetzer. There's obviously also a counteracting the yetzer hara. There's obviously a battle, a fight against the yetzer hara to help, you know, a friend's animal, you know, because gadol hamitzvah v'oseh, and misha eino mitzvah v'oseh, because the Gemara says once you're commanded, there's a yetzer hara not to do it. So why does the Gemara in Bava Metzia say that you should avoid helping your friend and help your enemy, you know, especially under the circumstances where the animal is suffering and here you're going out of your way to help the enemy? To add to this, the Gemara says that who is this person you hate? A person who it's a mitzvah to actually express or feel some hatred towards. So then why is the Torah trying to fight the Yetzer Hara in this fashion when it doesn't even seem to be a Yetzer Hara at all? So Tosfos in Bava Metzia, Sochem maybe, I don't remember if it was the Gemara that he quotes in Sochem, this is the same Gemara basically. He quotes it in Sochem also, I don't remember which Masechta, I think it's in Sochem, where it says that the Tosfos there says that that this Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara generated not by the hatred that you're allowed to have, but since you're going to hate this guy, he will naturally hate you because that's how people work. And when he hates you, it won't be for a mitzvah. It'll be personal. And when he hates you on a personal level, you're going to hate him back on a personal level. So in order to break the cycle of hatred and keep it all l'shem shemayim and even the playing field, Tosfos explains, that's why the Gemara says, you got to break this Yetzer Hara and help this guy out, even though you hate him, even at the cost of leaving behind a mitzvah d'oraisa of Tzar Baal Chaim. So here he's asking, the Mechaber here is asking a separate question. He's saying, there's also k'tias hayetzer, there's also beating, so to speak, the Yetzer Hara if you help your friend, because that's also a commandment. So why not do that if it also accomplishes a similar thing? So he says the following, Ach noda, but it is known, She ha'ohev pasul ledin, that one who is beloved, who is preferred, you like this guy, you prefer him over other people. If you're a judge, okay, and you like this plaintiff a lot more, significantly more, in a measurable way, you like him more than his fellow litigant, pasul ledin. This judge, you as a judge, you're pasul, you're not fit to judge, you have to recuse yourself. Same thing if you hate the guy. Lo shechashdinan le sheyitzok shelo kedin v'mezid, not because we think that since you love this guy, you're going to choose the case in his favor, you're going to judge the case in his favor. Because you like him, he's your friend, so you're going to do him a favor. That's not the suspicion over here that leads us to say that a judge who loves one of the litigants has to recuse himself. No. It's something else. This is brought out in the Sma on the side of the Shulchan Aruch Nechoshim Mishpat right there. If you look it up, in Simon, he quotes it over here, Simon Zion, Sif Zion, or Simon Lamed Gimel, Sif Aleph, whatever. You'll see it in the Shulchan Aruch. Ella, rather, the Sma says, Ella mechamas shehadin toli v'svara. The reason that an ohev is puzzle and has to recuse himself as a judge is because din, adjudicating a case, requires svara, requires logic and working it through and lots of tifach hashbonah sometimes. And the hasvara yinateh achar ha'ohev. Because is svara logic and deep figuring the case out, that requires a lot of thinking. And once deep thinking is involved, making cheshbonos and weighing one thing against another, different factors and all that, that's when we apply the pasuk ha'elokim bara adam yashar v'hin bikshu cheshbonos rabbi. What does it say? It says hashochad ya'aver eini chachovim bisalech divrei tzaddikim. Even divrei tzaddikim, it's going to slip up and confuse. You might cheshbon things and think that you're being objective, but you don't have the ability. Once you love one person, you don't have the ability to use logic in a truly logical way. And by the way, in modern times, there have been a lot of psychology papers that have come out recently, for the past 10 years, that have talked and studied and proven this idea that most people, it's proven already, overwhelmingly, people who support a political agenda do so usually because emotionally they're connected there, not because of a logical reason. So this is part of what he's talking about. We don't have the ability in our hand, we don't have the power to really judge that and know it or recognize it. So the judge has to recuse himself. Ayin sham b'sma. Okay, in Sifkat Nalef, in Simon Lama Gimel, in the Choshen Mishpat. Nim, which is the Shulchan Aruch, not the Torah. Nim sa shivikan, yesh lefanav shtehen. What do we find? That here you have in front of you these two animals and the owners, who ohev lefrika, and the person who is preferred to him, loved by him, is the one that needs an animal unloaded. Al kein amru kidei lachof es yitzro liton adith. Therefore, they said that in order to crush the Yetzirah, to bend over, lachof means to subdue, to bend over, to subdue it. The Yetzirah, liton adith, to help the person who needs loading, the guy who you hate, adith is better. Ki bezeh bevadai ika kfiyase Yetzir. Because since you love this guy, since you love the other guy, your cheshbonos are messed up. You're not going to know for sure if you're doing this l'shem shemayim. You might be doing it only because you want this guy to like you even more, or because it makes you feel great that you're helping a person who you love so much, to further the relationship, etc., in a kosher way. Which is nothing wrong about, essentially. It's just that's not l'shem shemayim. But to help a person who you hate, well, that's probably l'shem shemayim. And the reason that you're helping, if you were to help the one you prefer, who's got, after all, an animal that's suffering, so hey, the reason that you would help this guy might be because you love this guy, you like him, you want to help him so much, you like him, it means so much to you, it has so much meaning for you to help him. The Havain, and understand that the Torah's point of it here is that you got, the way he's understanding it is, you've got a Bari and a Shema. You've got a case where you can certainly be working on subduing the Yetzirah in your case, and you've got another case where you might be subduing the Yetzirah, you might not, because we see that a judge has to recuse himself if he loves one of the plaintiffs. So, it might be that since you love this guy with the animal there, you love this guy, that you're not really doing it with Shem Shemayim, and you can't tell, you don't know. If you would know for sure, then it's an even thing. But the Torah is saying the Gemara is saying you don't know. The Gemara is saying you don't know. What you do know is that if you hate the guy, it's definitely l'shem shemayim. So you definitely, in both cases, you would be beating the Yetzirah. In both cases, because you're keeping a commandment, and there's always the Yetzirah fighting against the Yid doing the commandment. But in the case of the one where you love the guy, you might also be doing it from love, and that reduces the kriyas yetzirah. It might be very little kriyas yetzirah. It might even be almost negligible kriyas yetzirah, because there's such a big payoff to helping this guy out that it just squashes the resistance of the yetzirah. But in the case of the guy who you hate, even if it's a mitzvah to hate him, you know that it's not anything but subduing the yetzirah when you help this guy out, and therefore that's the one you need to choose. And this is another reason why avoiding doing things against the will of the person you're in the relationship with, in this case the Ribbono Shel Olam, comes first, before Ase Tov, before, it's the first consideration, the most important, first priority. You know, keep the mitzvahs los ase. That's the ikar. Why? Because the halos ase kodem ase. Don't we say in the Gemara that a mitzvah ase, if a person has a choice of mitzvahs ase or mitzvahs los ase, the halakha is ase docha los ase. He called los ase, he called haiva gufanis. What's going on over here, really? Every los ase is a power. It's a bodily power. It's like an instinct. The sofa of our yashiv. And the end of the matter is we're going to die. We're all going to be dead one day, every single one of us. All of you listening, me, all of us will be dead one day, and our bodies will be in the earth, falling apart, all of us. The sofa of our yashiv, the sheker ein lo reglayim. These desires of the body are obviously false, so they don't have a reglayim, they don't last. The cholzman shenapsho aduka v'taiva. As long as a person is stuck to desire, afilu im yislahev b'dvar mitzvah b'ava rava, even if he is fired up, a fire adikayid, he's fired up for a mitzvah purpose with great love, very great enthusiasm. Afal kichein hu sheker. It's not really true. Ki yechsher la'oyver al ritzono la'asos ritzono. Because a person who's fighting against the will of God, doing things that subvert God's will, can't be considered a person who's trying to do God's will. Kenitz kala'el. The aim there, as we said above, the aim there ki in l'shem l'zifferes l'zhila. The person must be doing these asin, these positive commandments, for the sake of glory, even religious glory. Nice excuse. As long as the person is soaked and it's submersed in silliness of the nonsense of this world, they're all lacking. Why is it that it's such a bigger struggle for him to avoid a negative commandment? Mitzvahs manicho lasos, but the positive commandment the Yetzirah allows him to do. Why would the Yetzirah allow you all of a sudden not care if you're doing mitzvahs asay? Why does the Yetzirah suddenly disappear when you're doing mitzvahs asay? Doesn't make sense. The Yetzirah wants you to do mitzvahs asay. It only doesn't want you to do mitzvahs los asay. Elavada gamze hu pitui hayetzahara la'abido v'shkarim shavaliros or ha'emes v'shiyizbor shu tzadik v'yirei shamayim. It's just the tactic of the yetzahara to enable a person to still gain enough self-respect to tell himself, oh, I have self-esteem. I'm doing a great job. You know, look at all the great things I'm doing. Now, I'm going to finish this parak, God willing, next time. I think it'll be Monday, for those who are listening week to week. Today's Tuesday, but next time will be Monday, God willing, at 12:15, and New York City time. And I just want to point out something, that all this stuff sounds awfully negative. You know, how often do we tell people, and I think it's a well-known fact, that that if you're working with people who are having a hard time with roughness and struggles, no one will tell you, well, break them down, destroy them, and show them how the mitzvahs that they're doing don't even count at all. It's like, this is like the last thing that I can imagine would be a good idea. So it kind of makes you wonder, what the heck is this tzaddik doing? Why is he, this is Chassidus, she's supposed to be nice. Why is he all focused on tearing down your mitzvahs? Ach, your mitzvahs are no good. You know, we see in the Sifrei Kodesh of other tzaddikim that, you know, they don't discourage people from doing mitzvahs just because the guy's a Rasha. Rasha, don't put tefillin on. He's not eating kosher. Don't let him put tefillin on. We've never seen such a thing. So what's he saying? So I just want to suggest to you, in short, if I can, that what he's saying is really pretty simple. He's not trying to discourage anyone from doing mitzvahs. He's trying to tell a person, you're in trouble. There, of course, there's value to your mitzvahs, but you're surely making a bigger deal about the wrong things, and that's why you're just not getting it right yet. That's why you keep running after these things, because your priorities are really not in the right place. You're doing all these good things? Yeah, I know. You have a lot of goodness in you, too. That's true. However, your priorities are wrong. You need to turn the boat around and get help to start, you know, make your first priority, righting the ship. If the ship's going in the wrong direction, you're not going to get to the source, no matter how fast you're going. That's the way that he's kind of framing this, that it's like a ship, and all the systems are running great. It's just that it's going in the wrong direction, you know? So the longer you ignore and don't get help for what you really need to do, which is keep the los assays properly, at least, not with all the sidurim and hummers, just the basic los assays, you know? What you need to do first is that. If your focus is on the wrong thing, it's never going to happen. So let's get the help that we need now. Don't postpone it and say, but I'm doing all these mitzvahs, you know. And many, many people postpone it because, well, it's a bittul Torah. So, you know, But I have so much hisrahus in davening when I feel horribly guilty about zera levatala and this and that. And if I look at it as a mental disease, I'm going to kind of lose my hisrahus in davening. He's saying that that's all yetzahara talk. That's all nonsense, yetzahara talk. Because, and he drives this point home so strongly that in today's times, if this message isn't understood properly, he's going to chase people away from Yiddishkeit right and left. Chas v'shalom. Because he's saying, no, don't put it off, because the good things that you're doing ain't really good. You're really just wasting your time. I mean, the good things you're doing are not really good. So quit fooling yourself and get help now. You know, that's his message, I think. And I think it's pretty clear. Thanks for letting me share with you. And I'm going to hit the button. He says a lot more beautiful, beautiful material in the next few pages. Now we're